Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is Joe Beninati. You're listening to NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. Here he is. Here's your host, J.J. Regan.
You're right now in hard position, but it's going to be fun when we bounce back and going to tie the series and come back here and play game five at home.
Those were the words of the captain after game two. Not so much a guarantee as it was just a statement of fact that this series would come back to Washington and it would be tied. And Alex Ovechkin delivered on his word. The Capitals went into Columbus and won both games, and now they're coming back to Washington with a tie series. Welcome into another edition of the NBC Sports Washington's Capitals Face Off podcast. I am, of course, your host, the Capitals correspondent, J.J. Regan. With me today, he's the Capitals insider. He is the boo-boo to my Yogi. He is Tarkov Shear.
All right. I actually know that reference.
You know that one?
Yeah, I know that one.
That's a first. What we'll talk about today, we're going to talk about the big Game 3 and Game 4 wins. We're going to look ahead to how this series may play out, and we're going to answer some listener questions. First, Tark, some general thoughts on the series. I mean, what a difference two games has made. We talked after game two. We thought, wow, this could be an early summer for us. Things are looking dire. You lose both games at home.
Oh, you said that. I was fully confident that this was going to be a longer series.
Okay.
Yeah, I was. It's not like they got beat 5-2 and 4-1 at home.
True.
You know, there were some unfortunate penalties. I thought they played relatively well in those games. And, you know, it's a crapshoot. It's a toss-up once you get to overtime in the playoffs. I wasn't 100% confident they were going to come back 2-2. I thought it was going to be 3-1. They were going to really battle their way back. But I hadn't lost total faith. Like, to put it this way, I wasn't counting my merit rewards points and starting to look at, you know, what warm, sunny locales I wanted to take the family to just yet.
So tell me, what happened in Game 3 and Game 4? How did they turn things around so drastically?
Well, I think a number of things happened. Well, first of all, they got a little more disciplined. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you go back to the Games 1 and 2, those games were lost on dumb penalties at critical junctures.
Yes.
And the penalty kill didn't know what it was doing against Columbus's power play. Columbus, you know, came in with a game plan, and they scored 4 goals in their first 8 power play opportunities. I mean, that's going to kill you, especially when, you know, you're taking dumb penalties. So, I mean, part of it was that. But I think part of it is the Capitals adopted a very simplistic and hard-nosed approach to playing on the playing on the road in the playoffs. They weren't overpassing, in my opinion, in 3 and 4, like we saw a little bit in 1 and 2, where they were getting a little too cutesy. They were very businesslike. They were very on it. I thought they were, in terms of defensive structure, a little more defensive than I recall in Game 4. I mean, they were that Game 4 might have been their best performance in terms of their play in all 3 zones, and in terms of just having more components going at the same time. And, you know, the X factor is goaltending. It always is goaltending. It always comes back to goaltending. And I know I've said this 15 times probably on this podcast, but, you know, a wise man once told me, instead of hockey, why don't they just call it goalie, especially in the playoffs, because it's about the goalie, dummy. And Braden Holtby has been outstanding. I mean, since he's come back, 940 save percentage, 135 goals against average. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous. 132, excuse me.
This series turned when Braden Holtby got reclaimed the net. For anyone out there who told me all season long, Braden Holtby doesn't deliver when it matters.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm cutting you off.
Okay.
Because you called me boo-boo in the intro. It doesn't matter if you're National Hockey League head coach, mm-hmm. or you're a project manager of an IT firm somewhere in Northern Virginia. I don't care what profession you're in. You make big, tough decisions based on the information that's in front of you at the time you have to make that decision.
Yep.
Barry Trotz picked Philip Grubauer for all of the right reasons.
Yes, absolutely.
All of the right choice. Reasons. He was the best goaltender from Thanksgiving until the end of the regular season statistically. You can't – there was no other option to arrive at. I mean, that was the – in my opinion, it wasn't even a decision.
He made the right call, absolutely.
Right. And again, he made the right decision after Grubauer gave up 8 goals on 49 yes. shots.
Yes.
And neither one of those were easy. Both took guts. Both took a coach that – isn't under contract for next year. Might be a little more free to make some hard decisions,
right?
Which I like.
Mm-hmm.
And Holtby went back in and just – it looked like he turned back the clock to 2016-17.
Yeah, looks like old Holtby again.
Yeah. I mean, Coach Trotz made a great point last night. Holtby made the kinds of saves – not a bunch of them, just two saves. There were two saves in particular
yep.
that he made that kept this game in – the Capitals' reach, and that's all you need. You don't need your goaltender to be standing on his head. You just need him to make all the saves he's supposed to, and then two or three that he wasn't supposed to.
Right,
and then you're in great shape.
And that was a theme that he carried over from Game 2. I remember after Game 2, he lamented the fact we didn't get the big save when we needed it. And Phil Grubauer didn't play poorly, but he didn't come up with the big save when the team needed it. And that was the problem in Game 1 and Game 2. And that's what Brayden Holtby has been able to do, is when he's been challenged, when this team needed a big save, he was there and he was able to get that big save. Now, he wasn't able to get it in overtime in Game 2. But in Game 3 and Game 4, he took over that crease. And he was very, very good, phenomenal. Now there's no question. And the point that I was going to make was, before I was so rudely interrupted by you talking,
I'm good at that,
was that Holtby has been criticized all season long that he's not a clutch goalie, that he does not perform in the biggest moments. Look at the difference between Philip Grubauer, a guy who wants to be a starter, a guy who's battling to be a starter, and Braden Holtby, a guy who is an established starter who has established himself as one of the top netminders in the world. There's a difference there, and it's been evident in this series, and it's completely changed the series. Whereas goaltending was a major strength for Columbus.
Sergei Bobrovsky single-handedly won a game now for the Blue Jackets.
Now it's even. Now right. You can't say that Columbus has the edge in goaltending. Now it's even.
But here's my question. Can Barry Trotz make his players stay at a hotel somewhere and and blindfold them on the way into the building and not let them believe that they're in their home rink and make them fool them into thinking that they're still at Nationwide Arena? Because
not a bad idea.
They've been really, really good on the road and not so great at home. So that's the question, is can they bring the style of play that they had in games 3 and 4 to their home rink on F Street, which, you know, I think is going to be the big question. And if they're able to me, I think the Blue Jackets are ripe for the plucking right now. I think they're on the ropes. I think they're a little flustered after what happened, especially in game 4. And I think if the Caps get tomorrow's game, I think they end yeah. it. They end it on Monday night in Columbus, and get a few days to rest up before. Dun, dun, dun.
I know. It's setting itself up again, but we're not anywhere close to that just yet.
No, and you shouldn't even start looking ahead. But it's hard. It's hard to not. But
of course,
but you shouldn't.
Targ, you brought up the Caps' struggles at home. In their last 6 home games in the playoffs, their last 6, so dating back to the Pittsburgh series last year, the Capitals have won only one of those games. That's crazy. You should be better at home in the playoffs than that.
You should be, for a number of reasons. You're sleeping in your own bed. You're around your family. You're in your comfortable, you know, confines of things you know, and you have the last change. You get the matchups. Yeah, I mean, there are so many advantages to being at home. That said, there's something to be said about being comfortable, you know, and that's not always the right way to be when you're going to battle. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you need to kind of have that edge, that kind of looking over your shoulder, that kind of uneasiness. Sometimes you can kind of be lulled into a false sense of, and I asked Barry Trotz about that this morning.
Yep.
You know, I asked him about it, and he agreed. He said, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, and then he said, and he didn't expand on it, but he said, and there's some distractions when you're at home. And what he meant was, you know, there's the wife, there's the girlfriend, there's the family members who are asking for tickets. There are, you know, there's just stuff going on. There's, you know, just things that it's more of a business trip when you're on the road.
Yep.
It's just more of a business trip. Now, you aren't getting exactly what you want to eat. You're not in your own bed. But it's more of a – you're more dialed in and focused, and your senses are kind of heightened because you're in enemy territory, and there really is nothing for the most part, especially in the playoffs. You're not going out and messing around. You're in your room. You're eating. You're with your teammates. You're hunkered down. That's all you're sleeping, eating, breathing, hockey. That's all you're doing.
Now, there's a theory about the Capitals at home that I want to throw out here. See what we think of this. Because of this, the history of this team.
No. Well, okay, maybe a little bit. Because these guys are already. I know where you're going. You don't need to tell me.
Okay.
So the players are already have some self-doubt because this core group has been through multiple failures.
Uh-huh.
It does not help when the fans sit on their hands and go,
and the wind goes out of the building. Air goes out of the building.
That said, you know how you combat that? You kick ass in the first period. Yes. You take a 2-0 lead, and then you hold on to it, and the crowd stands for the final 3 minutes as you're holding on to that lead.
Yes.
That's how you combat it.
Right.
If you have a history of collapsing and you start to collapse, your supporters are going to run for the hills. So you know how you fix that? Kick ass in the first period.
Yeah.
And then hang on.
For sure. You know, one other thing, interesting thing about the series that I noticed, until game four, I would say the better team lost the first three games of the series. The Caps were the better team in game one and game two and lost those games. And Columbus was really the better team in game three, and the Caps won that game.
I think you can make that argument, sure.
I think that goes back to what we were talking about before with goaltending, how important goaltending is. Game three especially, Brayden Holtby.
I'm not even calling it hockey anymore. I'm just calling it goalie.
Brayden Holtby stole that game. I mean, let's be honest. Columbus was better, and Brayden Holtby was just better than Columbus.
I agree.
So an interesting set there. We're going to talk more about this series, but first got to pay some bills.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
It was just a struggle. It was, that's called a good old-fashioned laying an egg right on through our lineup. It was a struggle for our whole team against Washington tonight. Give them credit. They played a really good game. We fed right into it through the whole team. It's a series. We did not have a good 60 minutes tonight, but we're not down in the series. So it's wipe it clean. It's a three-game series now. We are not down in the damn series. We weren't good. There's no sense asking me things about the game. I'm telling you, we laid an egg, so I'm not going to break it down for you. We sucked. So let's move by it and see if we play better Saturday afternoon.
Welcome back. Dark. John Tortorella was a little frustrated after game four. You were probably there for his press conference, weren't you?
Tortorella's acting. He's a master motivator. He's been doing this for 20 something years.
He knows
the fabric, the DNA of the team. Like, he wouldn't have gone into a veteran laden room and used the words, you know, we laid an egg, we stunk, we sucked. He wouldn't say that to the Capitals. He wouldn't have walked into and looked at Ovi and Backstrom and said those. But you know what? He's got a young team. He knows what the makeup of his team and what buttons to push. And you know what? He probably didn't say a whole lot to him after the game. He wanted to make sure that he was hard on them and gave them a kick in the pants in the media. So when they got into their cars and looked at their smartphones and everyone's going, Coach said you sucked. He said you laid an egg. Oh, man. Okay. And that's where they get the message. And he knows what he's doing. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's coached at the highest level for a long time because he's freaking good at what he does.
Right.
And part of that is knowing how to push the right buttons.
Yeah. But there's one other aspect to that. It's not just, I think, sending a message to your team via the media. It's also Columbus played their worst game in the series in game four. And what are we talking about? We're talking about John Tortorella. We're not talking about, boy,
exactly.
Look at Columbus. Exactly. Oh, they're Washington really has their number
took
now.
The pressure,
we're talking
took
about
the pressure,
Tortorella.
Took the pressure right off his guys, and he knows it. You know what? I haven't gone back and read the lead to the Columbus Dispatch story and the sidebars, but I can almost get – and what ESPN and NHL Network are talking about, I can almost guarantee you it wasn't about Artemi Panarin not getting more than an inch of open ice to do anything in game four. Right. I can almost guarantee you that the lead storyline was Tortorella walking off the podium in a huff.
Yeah. The lead story on our site for the Capitals on Friday is – John Tortorella walking out of the press conference.
Of course.
This is
and
what
it happened.
Does.
It happened, and it was newsworthy, and people should write and talk about it. Yeah. But again, master motivator. He knows
exactly.
I'm gonna shoulder this and let Artemi and Cam Atkinson and Seth Jones. They know they sucked. I don't need to I don't need to go say this to their face.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take some of this heat. But you know, his words still carry some weight too.
So don't laugh too hard, Cavs fans, because John Tortorella. Not that he hasn't lost his temper in the past, because he certainly has. But in most of these cases, and I think this is one of them, he knows exactly what he's doing. Having said that, one little quibble I do have is that whenever these things happen, I always see that reaction. Why does he have to talk to the media? Oh, leave him alone. Why does he have to talk to the media? We have the greatest job in the world. There are aspects of my job that I don't like. But you know what? Can you imagine if we were in a meeting and somebody asked me a question?
This is not a better job than professional surfer.
Well, I'm not getting attacked by a shark. You ever see that video? But can you imagine if we were sitting in a meeting and someone's like, JJ, what do you think about that? And I went, oh, I don't know. And I just got up and walked out of the meeting. The reaction in the office would not be, why does JJ have to go to that meeting? Leave him alone. No. If you're a professional coach, a professional athlete, part of your job is dealing with the media. I'm sorry. It just is. Now, this was totally calculated by him. It's not because he doesn't like it.
The other thing,
calculated.
I haven't heard fans saying that, but I have heard the gripes about the media and why you guys all – listen, the league wouldn't be a $2.5 billion league if it weren't for the media driving storylines. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine if hockey just disappeared after the Stanley Cup were awarded and there was no buzz around the draft and buzz around free agency. It would just cease to exist. I mean, there just wouldn't be the interest in the sport year-round, in all sports. Media, look, players don't like us. Coaches don't like us. They deal with us because the bylaws say they have to deal with
yes.
us.
But at, part
the
of your
job. But at the same time, when they cash those $4 and $5 million checks – they better understand that me and JJ are helping them get them because we're increasing their value by increasing their exposure and making them into stars.
So for all you professional athletes and coaches who are listening, because we know you do.
I'll take a 4% cut.
Yep, forward those checks on over to anyway, and by the way, the players they don't like you, Tarek. They like me just fine.
No, they don't.
But anyway.
That's not what my sources tell me.
Moving on, the Capitals have tied the series, but that's as far as they've gotten. There's still work to be done here. So, Tarek, how do the Capitals go from here and win the series?
Well, Braden Holtby needs to be the Braden Holtby we saw in 3 and 4. They need to keep their butts out of the penalty box, especially for dumb penalties.
Yes. And by the way, for people who don't think that Tom Wilson gets targeted by the referee.
Oh, my God. That tripping call the other day, in game four, the dude was just skating to make a hit, and then, I don't know.
Led with the hips.
Led with the hip. Contact with the hip.
It was not a trip.
Terrible. So, goaltending, staying out of the box. More importantly, bring that composure and focus and business-like, workman-like effort that they showed in 3 and 4. Bring that here. Get that lead. Get the crowd behind you. You know, it's going to be a Saturday afternoon crowd. It's going to be a lot of kids in the crowd. It's going to be a lot of families. They're ready to scream and cheer their heads off for you. Give them something to cheer about.
Yeah.
And don't go to overtime, for God's sakes.
The only... It's a 3 o'clock game, and we're all like, oh my gosh, I'll actually be home with my family that night.
Until they go to 3 overtimes.
And then they'll go to triple overtime, and we'll be there all night again. Oh, it would be such a capsule.
No, I'm telling you, I'm making the prediction right now. Look, the Blue Jackets to me, are on the ropes. I feel like they've given the best that they've got. The Caps now realize they're on the ropes, and hopefully the killer instinct that this group may or may not have shown consistently over the years shows up, and they're able to – because you know what? Let's be honest. And again, you never want to look ahead, but the Penguins are going to advance.
Yeah, the good prediction out of you there, Tarek.
The Penguins are going to advance. And you don't want to go in there fresh off of Game 7.
No.
Where you were, you know,
against Columbus
and Josh Anderson, who's going to take two bodies with him.
Yeah.
You just don't want any part of that, man.
No. You
finish them off. Finish them off Saturday and Monday. Get a couple days to get ready for Sidney Crosby and Sonny Malkin, those guys again. But do yourself a favor. Give yourself a chance.
Yeah, finish them off. And if you're worried about the crowd, then start early.
Earplugs.
Give them a give the fans a reason to cheer for 60 minutes,
JJ,
and then they won't.
JJ will even cheer for you if you get like a 2-0 lead.
Tarek, there have been a lot of times in my career where I've had to sort of sit on my hands in the press box because it's just reaction. But anyway, so that is looking ahead to Game 5. We have some listener questions that we'd like to get to, but we're going to do that right after a word from our sponsor. Welcome back. Tarek, let's answer a couple of listener questions. First from, it's either Edie or Eddie. I don't know if I just typed it incorrectly, but we'll go with Edie because that's what I have. Edie Ryan writes, first, let me tell you how much I enjoy your podcast. You have insightful commentary that often makes me think of sides to an issue I might not have considered before. Also, I love how you introduce Tarek, JJ. I'm always interested
to hear. Tell your
wife
to stop sending in emails.
Those you refer to will expose Tarek's lack of pop culture knowledge. I have two questions. First, what can a coach actually do to get his players to stop taking stupid penalties? At this point in the season, he's not going to bench them. These are adult professionals he's dealing with. What can a coach do?
So I had this this nun in grade school that would whack me on the palm of my hand.
Oh, yeah,
with a
ruler.
Corporal punishment.
That's what they did, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Corporal punishment's not going to work. Tom Wilson would just throttle Trotz.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work.
Why don't you get a nun in there to bang Tom Wilson's knuckles with a ruler?
In all seriousness, it's not too late. It's not too late to call them out in front of the team. It's not too late to bring them in for video and go over their penalties and go, look, this is unacceptable. You can't do this. And they already do that. And it's not too late in the season or too early in the playoffs to pull someone's ice time. I mean, this team is, you know, those top nine pretty balanced. I mean, if you want to, someone takes a dumb penalty, this is just me pulling this out of my butt. I mean, like, let's say Chandler Stevenson takes an awful, you know, hook in the O-zone.
Free Jacob Vrana. Jacob Vrana up to the second line immediately.
Absolutely.
That's what would happen.
Absolutely. Or Vrana takes a stupid penalty. Put him at the end of the bench and say, look, 13, you're going to come back in this game when I'm ready. When I'm ready for you to. You're not until then. So just go sit down there next to Groovy, and I'll call on you.
Right.
So it's not too late to do that. And that is the strongest motivator, or scratching a player. You can scratch a player the next game.
You could. And the trick for the coach is that he has to know who his players are. I know some people complain, oh, he made this guy do this, but he wouldn't get on Ovechkin for that.
Well, guess what? Guess what? Coaches treat people just like you treat your boss different than your secretary.
Right.
That's how life
works.
You
treat them differently, but you also treat them differently based on their personality. Like, we've seen TJ Oshie
also
take laps.
Also, their stature on the team, for sure.
Yeah. TJ Oshie has taken laps during practice because of bad penalties. Yeah. Ovechkin would never do that because they're just two very different personalities. Ovechkin would steam over something like that. Oshie can handle that and brush it off, but the lesson still gets across. Tom Wilson, he knew he was taking bad penalties, and it was addressed, and he told the coach that he had to be better, and he has been better. He's taken a few penalties in the last few games, but as we discussed a little bit earlier, those may be more on the refs than they are on Tom Wilson, who seems to be getting a bad rap. Every time a ref turns around and there are two players on the ground, he just seems to point at Tom Wilson and send him to the box. But that is Wilson's lot in life, unfortunately, at this point. Second question, a bit obscure, but what is up with...
I love obscure.
Well, this is obscure.
Like Boo Boo and Yogi?
That's not obscure. Yogi Berra was based on Yogi Berra, right? Or is that just that couldn't be coincidence, right? I honestly don't know this. Spitting this out.
I don't know, but you know who I do know?
What?
I know Yogi Berra's granddaughter. She used to cover hockey for ESPN, Lindsay
Did
Berra.
She really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think she still works for ESPN somewhere. She's doing something investigative. Super nice girl. And I remember she told me one day, we were all at a social gathering. She's like, yeah, it was my grandfather. I was like, what?
I have to assume that Yogi Berra is named after Yogi Berra.
I would have to imagine, or vice versa.
Anyway, getting back to hockey.
Did you hear Avicii died?
Sorry. You've been obsessed with this.
Just get back to your question.
What is up with the neck of Oshie's jersey? Watching the game, I noticed the neck opening was so large that the tops of his shoulder pads were showing up there. There was no blue edging like the rest of the jersey. Does he cut it away? Is he rolling it under? Why? Is he having neck issue? It looks strange, and I wondered if he alters his jersey because hockey player weirdness.
That's really funny. I typically pick up on little things like that, mm-hmm. and I've never noticed that. But I can tell you this. There are people on the staff of the Capitals whose sole job it is to fix their equipment in a way that they feel comfortable.
Yes.
If they want extra stuff in their skates, they put extra stuff in their skates. If they want extra stuff in their shin pads, they put extra stuff. If they want less stuff in their elbow pads, they cut it out. If they want a jersey tailored in a certain way, they go, all right, TJ, what do you want? And they just cut it together. I mean, one of the cool things about being in the locker room and being a former hockey player and having a kid that plays now is to kind of – I sometimes eyeball their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny sometimes. You're, like, looking at equipment that's, being held together with, yarn and chewing gum and spit. I mean, this stuff is old stuff.
Right.
Because they get very attached to it. I mean, the story about Sidney Crosby's jock is it's kind of legendary, right? Hasn't he had, like, the same one since he was, like, a kid or something?
I know nothing about Sidney Crosby's jock. Educate me, Tarek.
I almost made a rude Caps fan joke, but I'm not going to. But listen, like Donald Brashear, he wore the same shoulder pads from his junior team when he was here in Washington. That was like 15 years later. I mean, these things were being held together literally with shoestrings and like yarn and stuff. And there are guys on this team, equipment managers, who when I come into the building at 3 o'clock and the players aren't even there for another 2 hours, they're out there with the sewing machine and they got their little needle and they're trying to put together someone's shoulder pad that's falling apart, or they're customizing their equipment. So I'll have to go ask TJ about that, because now I'm fascinated by this.
I'll ask, and I'll definitely look for it.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, though, is that the NHL has some pretty strict rules about the jerseys, so I doubt that they could just cut the net.
Yeah.
You
can get away with a lot. I mean, one interesting thing for you guys to look at. Next time Ovi is like on a breakaway or is doing something that causes his jersey to pull up in the back, look at the custom piece that is sewn into his pants. It comes halfway up his back.
Yeah.
Now, it used to come up to about the small of his back. Now it comes up to like the middle of his back. And I mean, I don't know if he took a cross check at some point this season, but that's what they do. I mean, Matt Niskanen wears extra plastic on his skates because he's afraid of breaking his foot with a slap shot to the side of his foot.
So thank you for your question, Edie. The next question, Tarek, is one near and dear to my heart, but you will hate. And it's very random. This is from William Selby, and he wants to know about a possible future expansion draft. He writes, if the rules...
William, I used to like you.
If the rules are the same, the Caps are likely to lose a decent player again.
Holy crap, this bro is talking about... We're in game five of the playoffs, and we're worried about losing a player 2 years from now? Come on, man!
If they can protect seven forwards, I see Ovechkin, Backstrom, and he lists the forwards and the defense.
Holy crap. William. William. There has to be some sort of disorder for people like you and William, who are constantly obsessed with stuff that's happening like 2 years from now, as opposed to focusing on what's going on right now.
So, William, I read your question.
And you probably put together your team.
With great delight. However, the players that you list are very specific for this year. And while we all know that Seattle is coming, it's going to happen. It's not going to be this summer. So while you're correct that they probably wouldn't protect
Maybe he's trying to figure out what jersey to buy. Like he wants to invest in a jersey for a few years.
They probably wouldn't protect John Carlson because he's a UFA. But whatever John Carlson's status is now, it will be different come the Seattle expansion draft. Because of how different things are going to be, both in terms of the Caps roster and who knows what tweaks they may make to those rules, because probably there are a lot of general managers and owners who are none too pleased about how well Vegas is doing in the playoffs this year. Plus, Seattle may say, hey, you should make things better because we're paying $650 million as opposed to the $500 million that Vegas had to shell out for their team. Things are going to be very different.
I wouldn't say very different.
Not very.
I'll tell you this. They're going to get the same advantages that Vegas got, because I can guarantee you when they were negotiating the particulars.
It was probably part of that.
There was no doubt. It was because by that point, they already saw what Vegas had done. They were like, all right, well, we need this same advantage now. I mean, think about it, how perfectly this Vegas franchise was born. I mean, I don't even know how those other ones survived. Like, how did Columbus survive for that many years of being terrible? I mean, Vegas might make a Stanley Cup run in their first year, which, you know, is huge to get the hockey franchise going. Yes. But also, with the football team moving in town, it was important for them to kind of get some of that.
Establish
themselves, get some of that corporate dollars, you know, get those fans on board. Because once the NFL comes in town, you know, they're going to be secondary citizens.
And by the way, just one more quick aside. I know people are already looking ahead to the next CBA and worrying if the NHL will lock out again, because that's the NHL's move. The projected inaugural season for Seattle is the same year the CBA expires. And, you know, call me naive, but I doubt the NHL would want to delay the inaugural season of Seattle for a lockout. But that's just me. Just throwing that out there. So
yeah, no, no argument there.
Maybe some optimism on my part. If you want to have your question read and answered, you can send it in to capitalsfaceoff@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, and of course, why wouldn't you? You can subscribe anywhere podcasts are available, and be sure to give us a good rating and review. Those things really do matter to help spread the word about the show. Tarek, last week I was wondering how much longer we were going to be able to do these podcasts in season. Now the Capitals have a new lease on life, and we're thinking maybe they could go on beyond this round.
Yeah.
To the second round against Pittsburgh, and then, so maybe just two or three podcasts. Who knows? Maybe this will be the year. But for right now, we'll have to wait and see, because first they have to beat Columbus.
It's funny, just to kind of give you guys a little peek behind the curtain, we're kind of a goofy bunch in the media corps here, and we were all sitting around today, and John Walton was outside of our little fishbowl area, and I just said, I just had a vision, everybody. And everyone was like, what are you talking about? I said,
Tarek,
I had a vision. I just had a vision.
The kiss of death.
I just had a vision of John Walton on a float on Constitution Avenue with all the players behind him. And they were all doing their stupid, you know, we're going to do it again next year, you know, after winning the Stanley Cup. And everyone just looked at me and just shook their heads.
So if you had hope in the Cats before, Tarek just gave the kiss of death for the season. Mr. Philadelphia is going to beat Pittsburgh in the first round.
Those are my hot takes, man. I don't put a whole lot of thought into my hot takes.
Oh, this podcast is full of hot takes. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. As always, we don't do this podcast if we don't have you, the listener, supporting us.
Everyone but William. Just kidding, buddy.
Everyone but William and people who like the intros, which is vast majority, as I hope you've noticed.
All those emails are from your wife. I know it.
For Tarek Abushir, this is JJ Regan. Let's get the puck out of here.